Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He is Lord. That means that this whole thing that's been set up, He's over it all. That, you know, we have the dominion of the kingdom of light existing in this world, and there's also the allowance for the darkness, for the evil, for Satan and his system to exist simultaneously. But you got to keep in mind that everything was created by God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything was made by Him. It's by His hand that it was all created. In Isaiah 45, you know, I was talking to some people about this scripture not too long ago, and it actually started to melt their brains a bit because, frankly, they've been mistaught in a lot of their, in some of the other stuff that they've heard from before. But it says very clearly in Isaiah 45 and verse 7, or actually, let me jump back to verse 5. Isaiah 45 verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Okay, so God made it. You know, God made the whole thing that we see and that we face and that we deal with in our day-to-day realities. And, you know, at certain times throughout the past, people have struggled with this. But you got to understand that, part of the reason why God made this entire thing was for His good pleasure. You know, He's an artist. He's creative. He's so many things. But the thing is He's not... He's not, one thing that He's not, is He's not what most people have been taught. Most people have been taught incorrectly about who God is and who they are in relationship to Him. See, part of why it's necessary that, we have what we have is for our own process, for our own coming into the fruition of who God made us to be. Of the realization of the eternal manifestation of us as what God made us to be. See, if we didn't have the world that we have, then how would we realize certain characteristics and attributes of who we are? If we didn't have to come through some difficulties and some struggles and some pain and all of the things that we've faced, you know, in our lives here. And frankly, everybody faces that. Every single person in this life will have struggles. Every single person in this life will have tribulation. I don't care how wealthy or poor somebody is. I don't care how sheltered, whatever it is. Even if it comes down just to the very level of their mind and their thought life, every person will struggle and have struggles in this life. Because we live in a temporal reality. Here's the thing. You can't get stuck on this life and on this world either, because everything in this life and in this world is transitory. See, we've been given a life and an experience here for a window and a season of time, but this is transitory. We're not staying here. And the proof thereof is, where's everybody from 200 years ago? They're not here. 200 years from now, you and I won't be here either. And, you know, I was talking to a dear sister in Christ not too long ago, and she's significantly senior to me. And, you know, she was around during World War II. And she was just saying, you know, Govinda, during World War II, during the time when, you know, there was all the stuff going on with the Nazis and all of that, she was like, people were convinced at that time that this was it. This was, the world was going to end. The whole world was going to wrap up and everything was going to stop. And Jesus was going to come back and all of those things. And, you know, all of the things that were people's thinking and their thought process and the things that they've been taught. And it didn't happen. And the world kept going. And other things have happened since then and other times. And so, you know, the thing is that, you know, from the very start, from the very point where Jesus, he walked on the earth and he carried out the plans and the purposes of God for his life and his time, even during his time in the earth, people thought that the Messiah was going to come a certain way. They thought that he was going to be this conquering king. They'd worked out this whole scenario in their head. So they thought this Savior is going to come for Israel, and he's going to come and he's going to put down the Roman Empire, and they're going to have another time again, just like they did back in David's day. They're always living in the past. They're always living in what it was that they knew at a particular point. And even with that, they're living in the fantasy of what it was, not even in the reality of what it actually was, because it wasn't easy for David, it wasn't easy for Solomon, it wasn't easy for these guys in the experiences that they had in their time in the earth. So, but they were living with a certain ideal of what they thought the Savior should do and be and become. And when Jesus showed up, and he didn't show up the way that they thought he would, or the way they thought he should, a lot of people had a problem with him. A lot of people didn't like the kingdom that he was establishing, because one, they didn't understand it, and two, they wanted something they could see and touch and feel and manage and manipulate and work their way into seats of power and all of that. They weren't content with the fact that in the end, what Jesus established in the earth was a spiritual kingdom. And it was that rock that was cut out of the mountain and it grew to be an entire mountain, grew and filled the whole earth, destroyed the Babylonian system and the representation thereof into nothing, and then that was just blown away, and it just grew and filled the whole earth. But they didn't like the way it showed up. And there's a challenge, you know, that comes for people in their walk and in their journey. Will you go with God the way that He would have for you to go with Him? Or are you going to create your predetermined expectations of who God is, what He should do, how He should do it, when He should do it, and are you going to put that on Him, and then when things don't work out according to your plan, your purpose, are you going to get mad at God? Hello. Yeah, how often has that happened? How often have people lost their faith and lost their thoughts and their minds and everything because they created a predetermined agenda in their own mind, their own thinking, things didn't work out, and then afterwards they get mad at God. But they're the ones that made it themselves. You know, another way you can get into a lot of trouble is when you start looking to man and rather than to God. When you start putting people up on a pedestal. And you know what? Frankly, it's easy to do. It's easy to put a person on a pedestal, and there's something inside of our human nature that wants to do that. We want to create heroes, and we want to put them up there. We want to abrogate the responsibility of our own lives into the hands of someone else. You know, we want to do that in our human nature. We want to give someone else that responsibility, and then when things don't work out, we want to blame that person and kill that person for things not working out in our life. So first we want to give our power over to someone, and then we want to blame that person when things don't work out. All right, listen, first things first. You and I, as created beings in the image and the likeness of God, we have free will, free decision, free choice in our time in the earth. And we are ultimately responsible. See, when you take responsibility over your life and over your decisions and over your choices and over your actions. And when you take responsibility, you're going to find an incredible empowering that comes with that too. When you start to realize that, look, you are where you are because of also your free will decisions and choices that you've made along the way, and God has given you that, and when you start to take responsibility for that, you're going to see an incredible empowering in your own life, and God is also going to activate the creative side of your being so that you can create in line with His plans and purposes for you. So don't abrogate your responsibility. Don't look for somebody to tell you what to do. You know, I've had to shake some people from that even recently. They've tried to do that with me. You know, they've tried to, they've just pressed me to try to get them to tell them, here's what you should do. And then they've wanted to, and they've pressed me for that. And even with that, I will break it down to the point of like, look, if this was just, if you're asking me for my opinion about something, sure, but I'm not going to tell you what to do because you are a free will agent and you need to make and have personal responsibility over your choices. And this needs to be something that God shows you and you walk out with your relationship with Him. And I know it's a little bit scary sometimes, but at the same time too, it is the most exhilarating thing when you move into that place. You move from being a child to being a full grown person. You move from being a dependent and looking for codependent relationships to trusting God at His Word and how He reveals it to you. And the way that it should work is He should be revealing things to you, and then as you're moving in that direction, there should be road signs along the way, and He can use other people for that as well. But those should be the things that just confirm what it is that He's speaking into your own heart and into your own spirit. Those shouldn't be the things that change your direction. Those should just be the things that pop up that say, yeah, you're going in the same, you're going the right way, and you should feel confidence in that. You should take assurance knowing that God is with you in that journey. You shouldn't be perplexed, even though sometimes things may come up that may make you feel that way. Don't be perplexed. Don't be disheartened. Take heart. Because He's overcome the world, and we overcome the world because we walk with Him. So don't look for people to take that responsibility over your own life. You know, I mean, even in, like, for example, even in when we set up Faith Mix, one reason why we called it Faith Mix is because, you know, and not named it after a particular person. We didn't name it after me. You know, because why? Because it's not about us. You know, this is not about us. This is about Him. And, you know, in 2 months from now, if God said, okay, somebody else is going to do all the publishing on here, and Govinda, you're done, great, fine, just hand it over. And if He doesn't, He doesn't. Whatever. It's fine. But the thing is that, or if He has us to move a particular direction, we'll move in a particular direction. Because why? Because it's about Him. It's about His plan, His purpose. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And realizing that the world that we live in is designed and set up a particular way because it serves His purposes. Now, thank God, in the midst of all this, you should thank God, I thank God, that He created us for Himself. That He created us to serve His purposes. That He created us for good and not for evil. That we get to be on the side of light and truth. That we get to be, you know, with Him. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to have been made for Him? Isn't it a blessing to be marked for Him? Isn't it a blessing to know that you have everything that you need, that He'll always provide for you, always take care of you? All you got to do is seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. That's what you have to do to come into the fruition of who He's made you to be as a child of light, a child of truth, a child of the way, and He'll take care of the rest. That's your part, is to seek Him first. Your part is to put the kingdom of God as your primary concern. Your part is to trust Him and to walk things out. You know, I've had an interesting season myself, because in this current season that I've been in, and I know that things are going to shift again in the not too distant future, because I can always feel that in my spirit when that's coming up. But he's really given me a season of rest. He's really given me a season of, and who said that we were supposed to be moving all the time? Who said that we were always supposed to be doing this and doing that? You know, God had Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years, from age 40 to age 80, tending a few sheep for the most part. That was pretty much his life for 40 years, while he was burning the king out of him and a lot of other things, and he was just working with them. But, you know, that wasn't nearly the stressors that he would have in the next 40 years, as he would go from 80 to 120, leading the children of Israel from Egypt up to the very edge of the Promised Land. And incidentally, that didn't have to be a 40-year assignment. That could have been a much shorter assignment if the children of Israel would have just trusted God and gone with it. But it went to the next generation, and he had to walk around with them for a long time. Anyways, that's a whole nother story. But, you know, part of what God does with us is just learning to trust him, and there's going to be different seasons of time. Look, why do people get so wrapped up with, here's what I need to try to get done or to do? You realize how much stuff has been done and is being done at any given time in this life and in this earth, but the thing that's needed, the thing that's necessary, is to walk with God. When you walk with him and you trust him and you live in a relationship with him and you live in that ever-present connection with him, that is life. It is life to know him. Here, let me flip here. John 17. Okay, John 17. And verse 1 says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Okay. So much in this word. I get so excited about the scriptures because there's life in there. And every time I open it, there's life in the word because the Spirit illuminates the words that are on that page. The scriptures are like no other book in the history of humanity. God speaks through his word in an incredible way. But you got to have the Spirit of God making it open and real to you. Otherwise, you do not have the key necessary to understand and to decode these words. That's why the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, MI5, MI6, FSB, you name any intelligence agency around the world, can never, ever, ever decode these scriptures because they lack the means to understand it. They lack the means to ever decode and to understand that which is life and truth. It is blocked from them. But it is not blocked to the child of God. The child of God can open these words, and the Spirit of God unlocks it because they love truth and they love Jesus, and the door has been opened to them. So we open this up, and we freely and boldly come before the throne of grace and receive the rhema, the spoken word of God to us this day, the bread of life this day. And whereas those in the world, with all of their resource and all of their effort and all of their plotting and scheming and planning and purposing, can never understand it. They're always stuck outside. And they're waiting for the scraps that they're thrown. They're waiting just to try to glean a little bit of life off of a child of light. They're just waiting to try to game and to scam because there's no life in them. Now, you can also start to draw those parameters around you to be deliberate and to be conscious about those people that get close to you, because you do not have to be drained of your life. What Jesus would rather happen with us is that we be poured out according to the direction and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So what the world wants to do is they want to suck the life out of you and channel that into their system that seeks to build something to block out the light and the truth from ever reaching anyone else. So they want to suck the life out of you, drain you, and use your power and your energy and your resource and your intention and your volition to try to block the light further. And they'll give you some digital ones and zeros, to be part of that. But your wealth is in your time and in your energies and in your efforts and in your volition. That's where your wealth lies. So where you put that and where you choose to put that, that's what's more important in that situation. You know, but the world wants to drain you. The difference is that God wants to pour you out. So He wants to flow through you by His Spirit. And in flowing through you by His Spirit, then He wants to direct you to where He would have for your efforts and energies to be poured out as laced by His Spirit, so that whatever you do is not just you in your individual efforts, but it is you with the Spirit of God flowing through you. Just like right now, as I do this, God is pouring me out. He's pouring through me, and that's why the word that's spoken reaches you, and it has an effect. And it's not just the words that are being spoken that are being carried around the world through this incredible medium that we now have in the digital age that we live in, but it's also the Spirit of God that is laced into this, that goes forward, that directs the words, directs the communication, and communicates not just on a natural and a mental level, but on a spiritual level. And that's why this has the effect that it has. That's why people, when they write in, they say they get fed. They say they go to church, but they get nothing out of that. So they come here for the word. But listen, you don't have to participate in a system that you don't agree in. You know, you don't have to try to balance on the fence either. You can take boldness in not belonging. It's fine. You know, just do what God has for you to do. You can go anywhere, really. Just be led by His Spirit. But don't try to justify something just because you're afraid of being ostracized. It's not such a big deal. You know, I've come to a certain spot for myself where it's like, hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. I can be in the desert with the Spirit of the living God leading me and guiding me, and He's going to take care of me. And whether I have fellowship and communication and the friendships of others, or whether that is few and far between for windows and seasons of time, I know God's with me. And I would rather be at peace with Him than have the approval of the group but participate in a lie. So, you know, that goes to, again, each individual taking individual responsibility over their own lives, their own decisions, their own choices, the direction that they go, and allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. But chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So God has power over all flesh. Jesus had, and has, this very day, power over all flesh. Over all flesh. That means those on both the dark and the light side. So God has the ability to steer the heart of the kings wherever He wants to, even if they have bowed down to serve the enemy. Ultimately, God has power over them, ultimately, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, because that's the eternal reality. And whether they like it or not, whether they submit to it or not, they still can't change what is real. Even as they cannot change the laws of gravity. Even as they cannot change a number of universal laws that are in existence in this, the physics of this life and this universe, they can't change those any more than they can. They're subject to those. Even as they're subject to the fact that Jesus Christ has power over them. Even as they're subject, listen, they can't breathe another breath without it being borrowed from God. Every breath that they breathe is on loan from God. So even the most evil, wicked, demonically inspired person that exists on this earth breathes the very breath on loan to them from God. So have a little respect, Satanist. Have a little respect. Realize your place. You exist here. All of us exist here for God's good pleasure and according to His plan and purpose. And every one of us, our breaths are on loan from Him. You have a case in Scripture where Sennacherib and the Assyrians, when they tried to put an attack on Hezekiah, and they just got a little bit too big for their britches. They got a little bit, just started talking a little bit too much smack, and they, in their stupidity, said some things against God, against the living God. And just even as we read, there is no other God but Him. And they tried to equate the true living God with these other places that they had gone through that were staffed and covered by idols, and those ones had no protection. And they tried to equate the true and living God to something like that. And they said, you know, is He going to be able to protect you? Is He going to be able to help you? And the fact of the matter is, absolutely. And you crossed a line you shouldn't have crossed. And that night when 186,000 soldiers went to bed, they all, God decided, all right, I want my breath back. And they all didn't wake up the next day. 186,000 men were there where they lie. That was it. It was over. Because of the stupidity of the man that was over them. The stupidity of their authority got them killed. And he went back to his own land in disgrace and shame and was murdered by his own sons while he was worshiping in the temple of his pagan god. Oh, there's a nice twist of events for you. Listen, for all the arrogant and foolish kings of this world that think that they can exalt themselves against the Most High, it doesn't work out well for you. Just know that. That's why the scriptures say, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in His wrath. Realize your place. All right, you've sided with the dark side, you bowed your knee before Satan, and you've been allowed to get your lap around the track and to be something in this world. All right, that is what it is. And it's at the cost of your eternal soul, and you've cursed and damned your entire line in that process. You know, perhaps God will be merciful. And somewhere down the line, somebody will be brought out from that, and that spiritual connection will be cut. But otherwise, you know, that's the choice that you've made, and you put that on those that would come after you. But don't be arrogant about it, because it never ends well. For the people that go that way, the devil is the one that steals and kills and destroys. So everybody that goes that way is living their entire existence with the demonic powers that all they do is steal and kill and destroy. So when that becomes your life experience, when that becomes what you know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that you're going to make it out of that without being stolen from, being killed, and being destroyed? You're going to be looking over your shoulder your entire time. And eventually, you get to a spot where you don't have the strength you once did. You may not have the connections you once did. And, you know, they're just vultures waiting to pick apart your carcass. Figuratively and possibly literally. But in the midst of all this, for the child of light, and this is where you should be grateful that you have been given that. And you've been given that gift. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So God chooses, and among the harvest that grows on the earth, the wheat and the tares grow together. And he gives eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God chooses. God selects. You've been called unto light. And as you make a choice of your free will to line up with him and to just say, Lord, you lead me and guide me. You lead me and guide me. Not an institution. Not a religion. I really don't care what the label is that you call yourself. It really matters nothing to me. And frankly, labels don't matter to God either. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. But what is life eternal? Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know God? Are you one with him? Is your spirit unified with him? Are you consummated with the spirit of the living God? Do you know Christ Jesus? Because he is the gate. He is the doorway. He is the way to the Father. He activates that in us. Forget religion. Go with a real relationship with him. And walk that out. And realize that amidst all the trappings of men and the trappings of religion and the desire that people have to control and to be conformed and to be part of a group and all of that, there's nothing there for you. There never was. And in the midst of all these attempts and efforts that people have made, they found themselves empty and tired and bored and exhausted. And they've tried to be part of the club, and it doesn't work because you know there's something missing in all of that. Rather, have an abundant and a real life. You know, the other day, I just been putting it on my heart to go do this, and I just, you know, I grabbed at least more than a pound of strawberries and a nice big bottle of water and just a mat, and I, in the middle of, you know, the late evening, it was the nighttime, found a just incredible spot, put it out below the stars, and just laid down there and just spent some time talking to God. Beautiful, incredible time with him. You know, going through some of the things that he's spoken over time in my own life. Part of my own walk, part of my own relationship, part of my own journey. I don't need somebody to do that for me. I don't need someone to tell me I'm okay. I don't need someone to approve or to say, all right, you're, you know, not just do this. No, I don't need that. And if anyone would try to exert that over me, I will shake them as quickly as I would shake something that gets stuck to the bottom of my foot while I'm walking around. Because I don't need that. I don't need man's obsessive desire to control, to impact my life. And I don't need people's desire to be controlled either. You've got to shake both of those. Encourage people to be responsible for their own lives, for their own walk, and point them in the right direction. Because who are the servants of God except just people that have proclaimed the message that God had for them to proclaim unto you? And that's it. They serve a certain purpose. Nothing more. And our fulfillment comes in discharging our duties unto you. Because in doing that, we fulfill part of God's plan for us. This is why the word resonates with you. Because it comes to you unfettered. It comes to you without all the agendas that come with so many other things that go out there. And you know that. You can sense that in your spirit when these words go out, is that they're clean. Because they don't come to you with an agenda. They just come to you as the Spirit of God would have them to. Now, in that process, too, part of the body is, you know, and part of just decency is to also just say, all right, you know, how can you be part of that, or how can you, you know, help encourage or keep something going? And that's, you know, that can be anything or everything. But, I mean, when people are blessing to you, and there's people out there that are blessing to me, you know, I pray for them, I encourage them, I do whatever it is that God puts on my heart to do for them. But, you know, don't just be a user. Don't just be a consumer. You know, be involved. Don't just be a seeking sucker. You know, be involved in what God is doing. And you'll oftentimes find your fulfillment will come as you engage in what God has for you. And as you don't just sit there pondering. You know, there was a buddy I had one time in India, and he had an interesting statement. He said, most people want to know the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. Don't be like that. Don't be among the people that just want to hear the will of God so that they can consider it. Be among those that can hear the will of God and the plan and purpose of God, and then do it. Do what God has for you to do, because you'll find fulfillment in that. You know, so many people are looking for that. They're looking for fulfillment. You know, most people, when people actually pursue wealth and money in this life, one of the reasons they do that is because they think that by getting that, that they will then automatically be able to buy a fulfilled life or the things that create fulfillment. But what you want is a fulfilled life. Skip the middleman. And you will find that as you go after the Lord, as you do what it is that He has for you to do, you will have incredible fulfillment within. And in doing that and having the fulfillment, also you'll find that the resources are there for whatever it is that is on your heart and whatever it is that He would have for you to do at the time. You know, God gave me a promise early on in this. And He said, Govinda, He said, I will give you the need when it's needed. I will give you the need when it's needed. And I have found to the testimony of the truth of what He's spoken to me over time that He's done exactly that. Whatever I've needed, I've had when I've needed it. And you know what? I don't want it before and I don't need it after. Think about it. If you had to take care of the children of Israel and you had to take a million plus people into the desert for 40 years, and you had to take the provision with you to take care of those people, can you imagine what you'd have to try to carry with you? You get manna in the desert, not when you're in Egypt. God takes care of you as you're in the desert. And then He takes care of you when you come into the promised land. In each place, God has His way of taking care of His people. But you got to trust Him, and you got to put yourself out there. And you've got to take Him at His word. He will supply the need when it's needed. And as you do that, you're gonna find that it's so much more fun that way. The provision of God is there. The protection of God is there. The direction of God is there. I mean, I tell you, you know, when God had me make a big shift in the early part of last year, I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing, but I just knew the instruction that he had given me at the time. Do I regret it at all? Absolutely not. Not at all. And while anybody that was in the world that saw it through natural eyes would not have any idea what I was doing, but God knew where he was sending me. God knew what he had for me to do. And in that process, I've had an incredible last, getting close to a year and a half now, but definitely the last 12 months. Absolutely amazing. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't trust God. Has God had me lack in anything in this time of what the world might think would be uncertainty? Absolutely not. He's been faithful. He's taken care of me. He's supplied exceedingly, abundantly, beyond my expectations in incredible ways. Oh, it's just a blessing. You guys, trust him. Trust him. Just follow what he says and trust him. And you will see for yourself that he's with you. And with that, we love you guys. One more thing. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 4. That's Jesus speaking and praying in chapter 17. And, you know, we want to do that too. And the work that God has for us to do, it may not be what you think. It may be something completely different. And there's a lot of things that will come and go, but you want to be in step with him. And you just want to finish that. He knows what it is. So trust him and enjoy the journey, because life was also made and intended to be a joy for his people. You were intended to enjoy this. He said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have an experience and know an abundant life, a full life. That comes on his terms. And part of the way that you see the manifestation of that is trusting him, following him, walking things out with him, obeying him. And don't be caught in the trappings of men and the man-made systems and the rules and the doctrines of men. But let God reveal and explain and show and teach and build you up and lift you up in his good time, his way, in Jesus' name. And with that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can also say hi on our Facebook page. We've got that too. And keep on keeping on. We love you guys. Talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.